A reading from the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 38, verse 22, and chapter 39, verses 17 and 18. A vision of all the women remaining in the house of the king of Judah being led out to the officials of the king of Babylon and saying, Your trusted friends have seduced you and have overcome you. Now that your feet are stuck in the mud, they desert you. But I will save you on that day, says the Lord, and you shall not be handed over to those whom you dread. For I will surely save you, and you shall not fall by the sword, but you shall have your life as a prize of war, because you have trusted in me, says the Lord. May the living word of God speak to us through these ancient words of Scripture.
Concert up here, I think. Good morning, everyone. It's so nice to be up here, the first, and I hope will be a slew of all of you volunteering to come up and preach in Mark's absence while Joy's on her sabbatical. So I'll try to make it look easy for you. About 8 years ago, I stood in this very space at the end of my daughter's Girl Scout ceremony. Alone. I was alone in many ways, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. I was nearing the end of what was a grueling divorce and was mourning the loss of my marriage. I was feeling ostracized by my marital social circle. My friends and even my family didn't 100% understand my decision to end my marriage. Even I questioned if I should stay for the sake of my children. I felt closed off and afraid, and to make matters worse, I had no spiritual place to call my own. I'd tried to find a church in the Westfield area that felt right to me, but nothing provided the combination of biblical foundation and spiritual self-expression that I desperately longed for. So here I stood. I was on the verge of breaking into song like that scene in Bridget Jones' Diary where she belts out the song all by myself with a pint of ice cream in one hand and a bottle of wine in the other. Luckily, I chose to look down at the Bible in front of me instead of terrifying the heavens with my pitchy performance. That night, this Bible was open to the book of Jeremiah. At the top left corner, I began reading Jeremiah chapter 38, 22, which Susan just read for us. And again, I'll read. It said, "Your trusted friends have seduced you and have overcome you. Now that your feet are stuck in the mud, they desert you." I couldn't believe my eyes. This was exactly how I felt. I actually looked around to see if someone was there who had possibly borne witness to my situation and had turned to that page just to tell me, "Girl, you need this right now." But it was only me. "God, did you do this?" Well, you've got my attention. This is exactly how I'm feeling these days. So what next? How does the story end? I skimmed my way down to the bottom of the next page, which was open to the other verse Susan read, Jeremiah chapter 39, verses 17 and 18. "But I will save you on that day, says the Lord, and you shall not be handed over to those you dread. For I will surely save you, and you shall not fall by the sword, but you shall have your life as a prize of war, because you have trusted in me, says the Lord." Now, at this point, I found myself uncontrollably weeping. Tears of sadness that I had held in for so long. Tears of pain that I hadn't really allowed myself to feel. And when those tears were gone, they were replaced with something foreign. The water rolling down my face was filled with peace and hope. I actually began inexplicably laughing under my tears. I kept saying over and over, "I'm going to be okay. I'm going to be okay. I am going to be okay." God was telling me so. As long as I kept trusting in his love and his ability to deliver me through this, I was going to be okay. And spoiler alert, I was okay. Although life may not be perfect all the time, I am okay. Even better, so began my deep connection with this church and my church family. Over the years, I've been reminded often of my experience that night. Recently, at home, we watched The Shack, the movie version of the heartwarming book I read years ago. The book and the subsequent movie was the story of how one man's life went from destructive sorrow to peace by spending a weekend at a shack in the woods with God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I don't think it was an Airbnb stay. One scene in the movie struck a chord in me and reminded me of that night that I spent here long ago. In the scene, Mackenzie, the man who was the main character, was instructed by Jesus to row across the river behind the shack to the mountain ridge on the other side. As he got about halfway across the river, the boat started bursting apart and began sinking. The river water had turned to black sludge and was inching closer to the now panicking passenger. From behind, he hears Jesus' voice saying to him, "Mac, it's okay. Just relax. This is happening inside you. You're letting it consume you. And you don't have to. Just focus on my voice. Don't think about the past. Don't think about the pain. Just look here in my eyes. Everything is going to be okay. Trust me, none of this can hurt you. Just keep your eyes on me. I'm not going anywhere." The moment he relaxed and focused on Jesus' voice and allowed himself to let go of his grip on the losing battle that was his life, the boat began mending itself and the murky water subsided. Jesus was then standing next to him, and Mackenzie was okay. Like I was years ago, the protagonist in this story was trying to fix everything on his own. Mackenzie was trying to hold on to any semblance of control he had, not just on his current situation, but his entire life. But again, like me, he forgot one bit of vital importance. You don't have to do it all on your own. It's tempting to try to control everything and everybody around us. But until we work with God and put our trust in him, we are no more than rowers waiting for our boats to sink. Through the years, I've continued to face situations that I desperately longed for control over, situations in which I was in a sinking rowboat and bailing out water as quickly as I could. It is in those times I've had to stop myself and remember that I'm not alone, remind myself to put my trust in God. I have to listen to that voice in my heart that says, "Don't think about the pain. Just look here in my eyes. Everything is going to be okay. Just keep your eyes on me. I'm not going anywhere." I can't heal my daughter, but I can calm down enough to listen to the doctors that are healing her without being in so much turmoil that I miss every word they say. Panic doesn't mend anything. It's like when someone's in a riptide, they say to swim with the current and not fight it. Fighting will only lead to exhaustion, not safety. It's only through focusing on God that you can find the peace necessary to get through life's difficulties. So what about our friend Jeremiah? The words he wrote brought me so much pain, I'm sorry, so much peace and emotional reconciliation. But who were those words originally meant for? I'm pretty sure that thousands of years ago, Jeremiah didn't write those words down just in case a lost Southern girl was on the brink of a meltdown. So for whom then? With Reverend Mark's help, I began delving into the book of Jeremiah. Incidentally, the longest book in the Bible. Figures I would find comfort in the most verbose piece of scripture. The first thing I learned is that Jeremiah is often referred referred to as the weeping prophet. That seemed ironically fitting for a prophet whose words dried my tears and eased my pain. Jeremiah began his work during the reign of King Josiah, which was 640 to 609 BC, and his ministry lasted until after the fall of Jerusalem and the beginning of the Babylonian captivity. During this time, Judah's good king Hezekiah died and was succeeded by his son Manasseh. Under Manasseh, the nation became engrossed in idolatry. Pagan altars were built, children were sacrificed, and worship of the stars was instituted. Also during this time, many prophets were persecuted. It was not a good time in Judah's history. The nation was moving headlong on a path of destruction. It was just a matter of time. It was during this era that Jeremiah was called to his prophetic ministry. He had two main goals to accomplish. The first was to bring his people to a state of repentance. He told them that if they would turn back to God, Judah could avoid its impending destruction. You may have guessed they didn't listen. So when it became apparent that the people had no intention of repentance, it became Jeremiah's sad task to warn them of the approaching destruction. He told them that the catastrophe would be a judgment from God, and they must submit and accept their punishment. As you can imagine, the Jews did not believe him and instead viewed him as a traitor. He was then persecuted more intensely than any other Hebrew prophet ever had been. He was threatened with death, imprisoned, bound in chains. In chapter 23, verse 9, he describes his emotional state by saying, "My heart is crushed within me." But one of the most notable things about Jeremiah was his faithfulness in carrying out God's instruction, even in the face of harsh opposition. This is what led to his nickname, the Weeping Prophet, because he mourned the sins of his people and grieved his own lack of success in saving them from themselves. In chapter 9, verse 1, he says, "Oh, that my head were water and my eyes a fountain of tears, that I may weep day and night for the slain of my poor people." Have any of you had a similar situation? Have you ever had a time when maybe you've had a project that you've worked on for a very long time with no success? Maybe you felt let down or misunderstood by a friend or loved one. Maybe you've had the heartbreak of watching your child fail at something, knowing that the only way he could get it right would be to figure it out on his own. Sometimes it's enough to make you want to go back to bed and pull the covers up tight. I have to believe that Jeremiah felt all these things and more about the people of Judah. I know for sure that somewhere in the course of his 40-plus years, I would have given the people of Judah a big fat "I told you so" and washed my hands of the whole situation. Wouldn't all of you? My family can tell you I have a strict policy. If there's a solution but you choose not to use it, you deserve what's coming. Since I would have been tempted to give up, I began to wonder how Jeremiah didn't give up. Surely he must have been tempted to try to control the situation in Judah himself, right? He must have at one time or another tried to row the boat all by himself. After all, he was doing what God had asked of him, and the people weren't having any part of it. I imagine Jeremiah standing in the middle of Judah, arms crossed, a look of disgust on his face, screaming out at the people, "Enough! I've been nice about this far too long. You, stop worshiping the stars. You, stop sacrificing innocent children. You, step away from that pagan altar. And all of you, stop punishing me for your misdoings." His sadness must have turned to frustration and then anger at some point. So how did he do it? How did he endure such constant tragedy? Did he have his own Girl Scout moment in which he learned to center himself and trust in God? In a way, he did. From the beginning of his ministry, he knew something that kept him going. God had revealed to him how demanding his mission was going to be, but made a promise to him. In Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 17 through 19, God's words are, "They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you. For I am with you, says the Lord, to deliver you." So he faced the frustration of delivering the words of warning that fell on deaf ears. He persevered the cruelty and violent retaliation from those he was trying to help. He lived through the heartache and helplessness of watching his brethren bring destruction on themselves, because he knew God would ultimately take care of him, and that even though his life would be hard to bear, he would be okay. Just like I was, just like Mackenzie was, just as we all will be when we learn to trust God, let go of our fear and need for control, and, well, stop trying to row our own boats all the time. Amen.